I'm David Delegater. Our guest today is Stephen Reichlin, author of a new cookbook, Project Smoke, 7 Steps to Smoked Food Nirvana. Reichlin's the author of The Barbecue Bible, How to Grill, Planet Barbecue, and 6 more live fire cookbooks that won James Beard and IACP awards. Reichlin's written for The New York Times, Esquire Food and Wine, and Bon Appetit, and he teaches barbecue university classes at the Broadmoor Resort in Colorado Springs. His TV shows include the PBS series Steve Reichlin's Project Smoke, Primal Grill, and Barbecue University. You know, Stephen, I read in a release that 18 million grills and smokers were sold in this country in 2014. That's an astounding figure.
Even more significant, more than 80% of American families own a grill or smoker. And more than 30% of American families own multiple grills. So we're talking about something that's so much a part of America's culinary and social fabric. We are defined by barbecuing and grilling.
The 7 steps that you cite for coming up with a perfect barbecue, choosing a smoker obviously is the first step. For people that are inexperienced or not real sure of themselves in choosing a smoker, for the novice, where would we start?
Well, first of all, if you own a kettle grill, like a Weber kettle, you already own a smoker. The key is to set it up for indirect grilling and use only half as much charcoal to bring the temperature down. Good entry-level smokers that aren't too expensive include the Pit Barrel Cooker, the Smoky Mountain, the Bradley Electric Smoker, the Char Griller Offset Barrel Smoke. I mean, these are all extremely affordable smokers, easy to use, easy to get into it with.
As far as sourcing the fuel, it seems that to a certain extent, people are locavores. They would use alderwood in the Northwest to plank salmon and other things. And in the Midwest, more hickory, I suppose. You know, it's the available fuel source. Is that hold true throughout the country, throughout the world?
You know, I'm so glad you said that, because I think sometimes to read certain food writers, you think that pitmasters sort of make a decision to use one particular kind of wood or another for its flavor profile. And in fact, you use the wood that's widely available to you. Now, there's a subtle difference in the smoke flavor of the different woods, cherry or apple, but don't think if you're smoking with apple wood, you're going to taste apples. I mean, it doesn't translate that literally. Far more important is how you dose the wood, how you dose the smoke. It should be a little bit every half hour to hour. Slow and steady wins the race.
With the tools that are necessary, I mean, I was astounded. I didn't do an actual count, but we were probably approaching 50 or 60 possible tools that one might utilize during the smoking process. Are there any things that are absolutely indispensable that you would advise people to latch on to?
Sure. Well, the absolute essentials would be you need spring-loaded, long-handled tongs. You need an instant-read meat thermometer, suede or leather gloves for holding your chimney starter or working with hot implements, and a grill brush to clean your grill grate. I mean, these are really the 4 essentials. And everything else helps make the job easier and helps increase your performance, but they're not absolutely essential.
Selecting the smoking method is another critical element. Different proteins certainly require different methods. Could you address that?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people think of smoking and barbecuing as one size fits all. And in fact, there are many different facets, many different smoking techniques. So when you make traditional American barbecue, like a Texas brisket or Kansas City ribs, you're working with what's called hot smoking, and in a particular temperature range of 225 degrees to 300 degrees. But there's also cold smoking, where you smoke the food without cooking it. And you would use that technique to make Nova Scotia-style salmon or Nova Scotia-style smoked salmon or Italian-style smoked mozzarella cheese. There's smoke roasting, which is a technique I like to use when smoking chicken or turkey. It takes place at a higher temperature, about 350 degrees, and it helps give you crackling, crisp skin as well as smoky meat. In Asia, you find tea smoking. In Italy, you find hay smoking. So, I mean, there are lots of different smoking techniques.
Yeah, and it never came to my brain, just out of the blue, the idea of smoking cheese or tofu or a Manhattan cocktail, for that matter, or desserts or coleslaw. These are not things I necessarily associated with putting on a grill or infusing with smoke.
Well, smoke flavor lends itself to almost an infinite variety of foods. Smoke cocktails started to appear at cutting-edge craft cocktail bars in New York and San Francisco about 7 or 8 years ago. And for that, you use a tool called a handheld smoker. One popular model is the smoking gun. It looks like a pistol. You fuel it with hickory or apple or mesquite sawdust, and you fire the smoke through a tube right into the cocktail shaker. You cover the cocktail shaker with plastic wrap, and you can actually give a smoky flavor to a Bloody Mary, which I use to make a drink I call a Smoky Mary. Another category of foods you don't normally think of smoking, but they're really terrific, are smoked desserts, like a smoked cheesecake or a bacon bourbon apple crisp, or even smoked ice cream.
Well, one of the things I really liked the book was that there's a lot of science in it, starting with a definition of smoke from a scientific perspective. It's not just a cookbook. It's a guide.
Well, thank you. You have paid me a high compliment with that, because in all of my books, really, the recipes are just the starting point. There's a message of history, there's a message of culture, there's a message of science. And with smoking in particular, you know, you think about it, we live in probably the only 100 years in human history where we have widespread refrigeration to preserve food. But prior to that, for virtually all of human history, this was a problem. How do you conserve perishable food to keep it for the future? And smoking answered that need. It was a big, big solution. It was a tasty solution, delicious solution to a big, big problem.
We've been talking with Stephen Reichlin, the author of this new book called Project Smoke, 7 Steps to Smoked Food Nirvana. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm David Delegate.
The sun's going down, people heading for the door. Oh, well, sure could use a little more. Just a little more. Barbecue. Oh, yeah. Peace, love, and barbecue. Yeah. Little more peace. A little more love. Some more barbecue.